Hello and welcome to this podcast from the BBC World Service. Please let us know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
You're listening to the BBC World Service Space Podcast. We're going to tell you how to live, work, play and fight at the final frontier, as well as saluting some of history's space pioneers. Happy listening.
BBC.
Hello, welcome to Witness with me, Rob Walker. Today we're going back to Christmas Day 2003 and the story of the Beagle 2 mission, a daring British attempt to look for life on Mars.
It inspired the whole nation such that there were people sitting on the edge of their seats on Christmas morning.
Just amazing, like every single person that I know made some kind of contact saying, we were watching, we were waiting, nobody cared about what was on TV for Christmas Day, they were all watching Beagle 2.
It's early on Christmas morning 2003, and journalists and scientists are packed into a room in central London. They're waiting for news from Beagle 2, the first lander since the 1970s to look specifically for evidence of life on Mars. And all eyes are on Professor Colin Pillinger of the Open University, the driving force behind the mission.
6 o'clock this morning and the first chance to hear from Beagle 2. The project's mastermind is on the line to NASA, but from the Martian surface, there's just silence.
I'm afraid it's a bit disappointing, but it's not the end of the world. Please don't go away from here believing that we've lost this spacecraft.
We'll hear more about what happened to Beagle 2 later. But the story of the mission begins a few years earlier with the unorthodox and hugely charismatic figure of Professor Pillinger. Before his death in 2014, Professor Pillinger spoke to the BBC about the mission on numerous occasions.
It began out of sheer bloody-mindedness. I went to a meeting at the European Space Agency, who I knew were having a mission to Mars. I said, you really do have to take a lander. And their response to that was, you've never built a lander, who's going to build it? The Brits won't pay for it. And I said, I think this is so important, somebody will do it. We got outside the meeting and we're driving away in the car and my wife said, are you serious? And I said, yes. And she said, right, you need a name for it. We're going to call it Beagle 2.
And once back in Britain, Professor Pillinger started work with a team to design this Beagle 2, named after the ship that took Charles Darwin on his voyage of discovery around the world in the 1830s. The unmanned Beagle 2 would need to be capable of conducting the complex experiments necessary for searching for evidence of life, but also be small enough to fit on the spacecraft the European Space Agency was sending to orbit Mars.
We had to demonstrate, you know, the actual scale on which we were working. This was going to be tiny because the amount of mass the European Space Agency had to give us was so small. That was when I asked my daughter to make a cardboard model, which she did on her kitchen table.
I remember seeing some sketches because they really did do it on the back of scraps of paper and, you know, back of an envelope.
Susanna Pillinger is Colin Pillinger's daughter.
We took over our kitchen table making this Beagle 2 model. It was cardboard boxes. It had kitchen roll tubes for the extendable arm. I had all the solar panels that unfolded and they had, like, you know, tinfoil on the solar panels.
And the cardboard model we carried around in a black bin liner bag and took it to places and said, this is what we're talking about.
Britain boards the Mars Express. Can we beat the Americans in the race to discover whether there's life on the red planet? Newsnight learned tonight that a British team of scientists is to lead a European space effort to reveal the secrets of Mars. What about the money? Are you yet fully resourced?
There is not a pound on the table yet for this lander, and that's an important fact.
But Professor Pillinger wasn't just trying to raise money for the mission. He also wanted to capture the British public's imagination. And that meant bringing on board Blur, at the time one of Britain's biggest bands.
And they started working together to develop the call sign for Beagle 2 that they can actually build into the software that went to Mars. The idea being that when Beagle 2 made contact on Christmas Day in 2003, that the first thing that you would hear would be the Blur call sign.
It was a signal on my mobile phone as well. It was my ringtone until my phone got run over.
Despite his somewhat unorthodox approach, Professor Pillinger's team succeeded in coming up with a highly innovative design for their Mars lander and built it on a tiny budget in time for the launch of the European Space Agency's mission in June 2003.
We're on the launch pad. In a few days from now, the rocket will ignite and will take us off the Earth's surface. It's the smallest, most cost-effective planetary probe there's ever been.
So we wish now good luck to Europe's first mission to Mars.
The spacecraft will parachute onto the Martian surface. Before touchdown, two large balloons will inflate to cushion the impact.
By Christmas Day 2003, when Beagle 2 was due to touch down, the mission had garnered huge public interest in Britain. And perhaps not surprisingly, it was, after all, an attempt on the cheap to land a bouncing ball on Mars, containing a tiny spacecraft that would try to answer one of the mysteries of the universe.
We had a room packed full of people who were all waiting for news and things that were going to happen. And it was quite a tense environment.
And what was your dad's mood like that morning? I mean, a lot of pressure on his shoulders, years of work going into this.
Yeah. I was worried, what if it didn't happen? So I did give him a good luck card. And I remember him being on the phone, and he was the only person who could hear the phone call, and everybody else in the room is waiting to see what happened. And they're all trying to judge his face and, like, is it good or bad?
So I was on a live telephone to a control centre in California, and a voice came on and said, I'm sorry, there's no data for you.
It was very disheartening, yeah, because it was still Christmas Day. So actually, we hadn't had a Christmas at all. There was no Christmas dinner, you know, real letdown.
Beagle's creator, Professor Colin Pillinger, said that he wouldn't give up until, as he put it, the final whistle blows. But he was already talking about the mission in the past tense. Professor Pillinger is now intent on raising funds to build a fleet of Beagles.
But that wasn't to be. An inquiry into what happened to Beagle 2 acknowledged that too little money had been put into the project at the beginning. But it also said that poor management was partly to blame, something Colin Pillinger vehemently disagreed with.
And that's what annoys me most, not that we believe that we failed, we didn't. We know how we could have done it better, and we weren't allowed to have another go. We still look for evidence of Beagle 2. I have one person who compulsively looks at the pictures that NASA give us in the hope that he will find evidence of what happened, because if we did, we'd know how far we got, and then we'd know how to do it better the next time.
And in January 2015, less than a year after Professor Pillinger's death, Beagle 2 was finally located on the surface of Mars, apparently intact. Photos from NASA suggested that some of Beagle's solar panels had failed to open, blocking its antenna and so preventing it from communicating. Beagle 2, it turned out, wasn't so much a heroic failure as a heroic near miss.
I wish it happened before he died. I'd like him to have got proper recognition for it being found and for people to realise how far it got. And he'd be still a dog with a bone with that, pursuing that and working out what actually happened.
I can't imagine there are many people that haven't stood outside on a starry night and looked at the millions and myriads of stars and thought, I wonder if I'm alone. And this is what we were trying to do with seeing whether there was life on Mars.
And Colin Pillinger's dream of answering that question lives on. In 2019, the European Space Agency hopes to land a rover on Mars that will once again search for signs of life. You've been listening to Witness with me, Rob Walker. For more of our history programmes, just search for BBC Witness.
Thanks for listening. Find more interviews, features and documentaries at bbcworldservice.com/space.